subscribe to Sings Like Hell. God damn it. It's a good deal. What can I say? Really? Okay. Cool. So, please subscribe. We need your help. We need you to be here clapping and cheering like you were before. And now I want you to welcome to the Libera Theater. This is the first time. I really can't believe it because I'm such a huge fan of this guy. One of my very favorite singer-songwriters ever. Please welcome Ray Wiley.
I saw some dogs chasing this rabbit. Saw dogs chasing this rabbit. I saw dogs chasing this rabbit. It was on sun, it's about noon. Said to the rabbit, "You gonna make it?" I said to the rabbit, "Are you gonna make it?" I said to the rabbit, "You gonna make it?" The rabbit said, "Well, I've got to." Get it?
Said, and then he said, "I got to. Good guy, watch the work. Now there's two kind of people in the world. There's two kind of people in the world. There's two kind of people in the world. The day people and the night people. And it's the night people's job. It's the night people's job. It's the night people's job to get the day people's money. Well, between the devil and the deep blue sea, between the devil and the deep blue sea, between the devil and the deep blue sea, that's where I am. I don't know what that means. Maybe it means I'm fucking cool. Maybe it means I'm fucking cool. Oh, maybe it means I'm fucking cool. I seriously doubt if that's what it means. Breaks my heart. That's a cool lick, isn't it? In the groove, everybody loved it. If it's in the groove, everybody loved it. The great Howlin' Wolf said that. We've a short time to be here. We've a short time to be here. We've a short time to be here. So get out of your rut and get in the groove. Get out of your rut and get in the groove. Get out of your rut and get in the groove.
Thank you very much. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce the band.
That's Rick Richards right there from Union Jackson. We're very glad to be here. This might be the first time that a number of you have appeared before me. So if it is, I imagine after that first song, you're a little nervous. I'll be looking at the ticket, wondering what the refund policy is. There is none. I just pretty much kind of write these songs and talk about them a little bit. And it's really nice to be here. What a beautiful area. It's really nice to come to California. And we have such great, great attractions here. And this is a song here about an attraction about 15 miles from where I live. Tempest storming, she dance like a little Egypt. She works down the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Down her arm, it's of a python eating a little mouse wearing a sailor hat. Says snake farm, snake farm. It just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is a snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Ooh. She said, well, it's got its charm. Nothing to do in the winter. Now then some kid gets good at snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention something. This is a sing-along. Really? You go snake farm, just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Ooh. Ain't exactly kumbaya. I said snake farm, just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Ooh. Getting into it now. Ramona likes malt liquor and a band from Wales that was called The Alarm. Said she cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Sometimes Ramona calls me up. Come on down here, it's getting warm. She runs everybody off. We, you know, snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Ooh, hell no. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Get any better than this. really. I'm getting better at all. Like I say, I just kind of write these songs and talk about them a little bit. So next song here is wrote to a young guy named Hayes Carl. Right. That's what a smattering sounds like. I always wondered. But Hayes Carl, he's this great young writer. He lives here in Austin, Texas. He's a great young songwriter. It's really nice to see someone that young that's, you know, pretty much already burnt out and fried. Usually have to be my age to be that bitter and resentful, but he's a great young songwriter. First time I met Hayes Carl, I've been reading these old French poets from the late 1800s. Somebody gave me a book of these poetry guys and poets. And I was reading about these guys, and these guys, their writing was just incredible. It was just it just was amazing to me. And they were like breaking the rules of poetry up to that time. They were writing what would be now almost like rock lyrics, and this was the like late 1800s. Their writing was just incredible. But they were pretty despicable people. They were horrible, horrible people. They just drank. They just drank, and they had like wild, sordid sexual affairs, and they were just like despicable lives of debauchery, just horrible people. But their writing was just like genius, and so the first time I met Hayes Carl, I thought to myself, well, this is how those guys must have smelled. Smelling like curves and cheap cologne. tells me not to worry about Judgment Day. She says dying to get into heaven just ain't our way. I'm gonna holler and I'm gonna scream. I'm gonna give it some mescaline. And then I'm gonna ride that with gasoline. So drunk up boys and drink. New record out. It's called A in Lightning, B in Darkening. Hint, there is no C. It's the worst title for an album that there's ever been. And it's got this really creepy cover on it. You know, it's got me standing there with holding my own head in my own hand. It'll skip you out just looking at it. And so you could probably, you'll probably ask, well, Ray, why would you do this?
Ray, why would you do this?
Glad you asked. Well, the reason is, because it's got this horrible title and it's got this creepy cover, you get more attention burning down the barn than you do carrying out the trash. Now, as a kid, my job is to carry out the trash. I carry out the trash. Nobody ever said anything to me unless I didn't carry out the trash, you know? Just out of like this invisible kid. But you burned down the barn one time. And I had relatives I didn't even know I had. That kid burned down the barn. So, like I say, you get more attention doing that. So this is a song. I got to tell you one thing here real quick. And I just, it's a long time ago in Rome that whenever the conqueror, the general would take over a country and he'd come back to Rome, he'd ride in a chariot through the streets of Rome and they'd be throwing flowers on him and everybody be yelling his name and all this stuff. Well, they'd hire this slave to whisper in his ear, go, fame is fleeting, you know, so he wouldn't get his ego, you know. See, I didn't have that guy 2 weeks ago. had the number one album on the Americana charts. This A in Lightning, B in Darkening was the number one. What do you hear this? So it's number one for a week. It got knocked off to number two last week by the soundtrack from this movie called Crazy Heart, which is about this, worn out, has-been alcoholic songwriter. Can you see the irony? But this week, real worn out alcoholic has been songwriter kicks ass of actor fake songwriter. Back on number one this week. You got Patty Griffin doing gospel music. And then you got Johnny Cash rising from the grave. How does he do that? You would think I would have an advantage. But obviously not. Sugar's got some sweetness to it, and as do my baby lips. Now once you hear some old howling wolf, she got to move hips. She ain't much for the bluegrass fiddle, she likes that bottleneck slide. a little kick with a lot of bottled liquor and then you take a ride. So listen, looky here, I'm talking about them country blues. Now you can take some black diamond strings and you put them on the J45. Boy, you hit them chords, you get that thump, you're downright sanctified. Or you can take some listed pickups and put it on a Fender Tweed. It's so sweet, oh, so sweet when it squirrels, sparks, blaze. Well, listen up, y'all. I'll look at you here. The audience that they're a little higher up on the rungs of the entertainment ladder, leaned against the wall of illusion and broken dreams. So I refuse. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about this exact same subject with Willie. He agreed with them. Very unprofessional. There was a wonderful percussionist there in Austin, Texas, by the name of Mambo John Trainer. Mambo John was just a soulful cat, and I felt very fortunate to have done some gigs with him. And after he passed away, this verse about him just popped up in my head, and I just couldn't quit singing it. So I wrote about him and some other musician friends of mine. Mambo John is the type of guy. I don't think he'd mind me mentioning Mambo John's type of guys. Every now and then, not often, but every now and then, Mambo John would smoke a little pot. He'd drive out in the hill country south of Austin. He'd be driving along. He'd see a dead animal by the side of the road. He would stop. He'd make a hat out of it. You know, even if you disapprove of marijuana, you got to admire that. John D. Graham, John D. Graham, he never been to Birmingham. He makes it a living with an old lap slide. He's gonna take Willie for a pony ride. Let it rain.
Southeast Oklahoma back in the 50s from some old guy passing through, and he'd play like Wildwood Flower on there on the Double Eagle. But I was a little kid and I'd see this guitar and I'd say, "Grandpa, let me play that guitar." And he'd go, "No, you can't play that. That's my guitar." And he says, "You can't play a man's guitar unless he gives you permission. You just can't go pick it up and start playing it. You have to have the man's permission to play his guitar." And, you know, I guess he was trying to teach me about respecting other people's property or something, but he never let me play it. Even after I got older in my 20s, I said, "Grandpa, let me play that resonator." He goes, "No, you can't play it until I say you can." And he never would let me do it, you know. And I guess it was about, actually I was in Los Angeles and be 29 years in May. I was up there and my grandmother called me and said, "You need to get up here. Your granddad's not doing well." So I drove from LA back up to East Texas. And it took me like 38 hours. I got up there and my grandma came out and said, "Glad you're here. Your granddad's dying. He's been asking about you, going, 'Where's Ray? Where's Ray? He wants to talk to you about that old guitar.'" And I went in there and he was on his deathbed and he sold it to me. To this day, I feel terrible that you have wrote him a hot check. My family. It's a song called Mother Hubbard's Blues. Joe's under the bed. She hates a damn thing, but She says yelling at a flower don't make it bloom. It's sunlight, water, and elbow room. But even the rose has got to pay some dues. Now the cross Canadian ragweed band, they call her Mother Hubbard, you understand. The reason is that's what and who she is. This mother knows the value of vapor rub, a belief in God and overdubs. Then that good tone is more important than the show or the biz. You see, show business is a heartbreaking endeavor, but if you got good tone, you can get through the gig. So gravely in literature is some of the things she prefers. Her old lucky jeans and antelope. She comes to bed in a negligee just to discuss cinema verity. She's the only woman I know that like Reservoir Dogs. But man, there are some scenes in there that even skipped me out. Songs I'm so known for, and don't worry, we're going to do them. We're just going to skip them, and we're going to go to another sing-along. I had this idea, and see if this idea that I had is as brilliant as I thought it was. I had this idea to write a honky-tonk gospel tune. Huh? It just came to me if I could write this honky-tonk gospel tune, if I could write this one song that would bring these two separate groups together, you know, the people who like beer joints and honky-tonks, the people who like gospel music, that this song that I wrote would bring them together. I mean, not so they got along with each other, I didn't care about that, but they would come together as consumers. The idea being the people who like beer joints and honky-tonks say, I gotta have that record. And the people who like gospel music say, I gotta have that record. Having my ticket to EC Street. Well, come to find out there's not a market for these songs at all. But I'd already written a song, so I didn't want to waste the time and effort I spent writing this song. Could have been doing something else for that 10 minutes. So I said, how can I salvage this song? Sing along. See, so that's where you come in. So I'll get into it. I'll play it here, get into it, and sing it, and then I'll teach it to you, and then we'll sing it, and we'll have the time of our lives here tonight. Which is kind of a depressing thought, if you will. The time of your life will be more than this. This is called When She Sang Amazing Grace. When I was a child, Mama told me, in her loving arms, when the storm clouds come along, dark clouds rising, storms are raging, she would sing an old gospel song. Thunder crashing, lightning flashing, I found comfort in the words that she would sing. Beyond these dark skies, there's a rainbow. Only love a little sun bring. I wish you sang amazing grace. How I felt the tears in my eyes. I wish you sang circle pure and broken. Thought I knew it blue skies. Well, time rolled on, all circles broken. I'm on the wind. And took away the chives I knew. I started drinking, I started gambling. I had no one now to look over me. There were no blue skies, there was only sorrow. And I can only hear sing in memory. When she sang amazing grace, oh, I felt the tears in my eyes. Sing, circle me, I'm broken. But I knew the blue sky. All right, you with me so far? Yeah, well, I'm with you. Okay. All right, so what's happening in the song? Okay, I'll tell you. There's a little kid, and it thunders and lightning, and he gets scared. He crawls up in his mama's lap, and she sings him this old gospel tune, and he just calms right down. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to sing this gospel tune I wrote. I mean, not that you need calming down. What's going to happen here is I'm going to sing a line of this chorus. Then right after I sing that line, you repeat what I just sang right after I just sang it. You got it? All right, here we go. When she sang, amazing grace, amazing grace. All right, I'll do the next line. Do the next line by myself. We move on. When she sang, circle be unbroken. Okay. Not enough room for all that, so you're just going to have to go be unbroken. Circle be unbroken.
Be unbroken.
And after that, you can pretty much do what you want. All right, let's try it. Here we go. When she sang, amazing grace.
Amazing grace.
So I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang. Circle
be unbroken.
That's good. Now let's sing it like we really mean it.
When she sang,
amazing grace. Oh, I felt the tears in my eyes. When she sang,
circle
be unbroken. I knew this blue skies. Well, I was running with this wild, wild bunch. I was singing. Living fast, and I was dying young. I was alone, all I had to look from my mind. Well, I was lost, and I was certain, yes, I was. I
streets in New Orleans. When I stumbled into a midnight mission, went out there, I saw an angel shaking a tambourine every now. When she sang Amazing Grace, oh, I felt the tears in my eyes. When she sang, there could be a broken, on a new long, blue, that blue sky. When she sang Amazing Grace, oh, I felt the tears in my eyes. When she sang, there could be a broken.
Strictly Bluegrass Festival, which is a great festival. So there, I went up there and they flew me in there and I played my little set. And after I finished my set, this young kid came up about, oh, I don't know, 25, 26 years old. He came up and said, Mr. Hubbard, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, well, I'm kind of busy. I'm trying to pack up. He said, well, can I just tell you how inspiring you are? And I went, yeah, go ahead. And he, you know, he said, please don't take this wrong. He said, but I played Manly in this young band here and I was watching you play. And all of a sudden, I was just really, you know, impressed with your commitment to your craft. And he said, please don't take this wrong, but you know, you're an old guy, and all of a sudden you're still writing these songs that are valid, and you're out traveling and playing these songs, and this commitment that you have to, you know, he said, like I say, I play Manly in this young band over here, and I want that commitment. And I said, well, just don't ever learn to do anything else. Remember when your parents told you, like, well, go to college, so if this music thing doesn't work out, you'll have something to fall back on? Don't do that.
This band called Crimson Kings. We come from the Carolinas and Tennessee. We make our stand in bronze wound strings.
dreadnoughts and drop down deep. Our roots run deep, true and tough, as the tree of life sent a lady man to them. We don't flinch, we don't bluff. Our heart's been blessed by a hickory wind. There are some who rise above blind faith, others just can't seem to pray. Then there are those condemned by the gods to rise, where the sparkle won't fade away. Anybody here is getting married like tomorrow. We have this window of opportunity from about 11 o'clock. I'm not going to get up too early. About 2 before we got to leave Los Angeles. If you're getting married from, you know, sometime between 11 and 2 for like $100 a piece, Pretty good sized salad. Let them sing this at your wedding. Just going to have a cheap sort of affair tonight for $35, but just kind of come to where you are, standing outside the door and hum the bass line. You're like a flower growing in the wild woods, bringing pleasure to the eyes. I'm like a river after a rainstorm, raging way too fast to die. You are a flower dying in a river, without love, we're wasting time. You're like a rainbow spread across the blue sky. The sunrise is your next of kin. I'm like a whirlwind rolled across the desert, to kind some hope to never see again. You are a rainbow, I am a whirlwind, without love, we're wasting time. You're like a diamond shining in the sunlight, sparkling and precious to see. I'm like a drifter, I'm always going someplace, I just never get to where I'm supposed to be. You're a diamond, I'm a drifter, without love, a waste of time. You're like a prayer rising up to heaven, pleasing the one upon whom you call. I'm like a scarecrow alone in the distance, close by the those who would see me fall. You are prayer, I am a scarecrow. Without love, we're wasting time. Without love, we're wasting time.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I come down from Oklahoma with a pistol and a boot. Paradise, a deck of cards, a Bible in my suit. I come here as the cause of tears, just a crashing. Seven stud eternal blood, I'm looking for a game. I double cross the state of Texas and they give me a little time. I tell myself to double cut the cards and hold scriptures in my mind. I learn to love the tumbling dice and to believe the word. Tombstones with rolling bones beats anything I ever heard. Patience is a virtue that I don't possess. I can't deny that heaven lies beneath God's breath. How small a part of time we share till we hear the sound of wings. I'm lost in the dust of the chase that my life brings. I have walked through God's green pastures beneath the rich blue skies. I've seen the fall of man and the kingdom hidden from their eyes. I have heard the roar of thunder, I felt the lightning bolt. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take along Samuel Cole. And every night I kiss the cards I hold to my breast. And when I see the King of Hearts, I know that I am blessed. And though my eyes are blind sometimes, something there. So when the time's at hand and I kill a man, I will say a prayer. Thank you very much. I was walking out there to get some coffee, and someone came up to me, and they said, are you going to do this song called Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother tonight? And I said, I don't know. They said, well, we hear you don't do it every night. And I said, I don't do it every night. They said, are you going to do it tonight? And I said, I really don't know. And they said, we'd really like you to hear that. And I said, well, that was kind of a long time ago, and, you know, Jerry Jeff and Bucky, you know, it was kind of a long time, kind of writing these other songs. They said, we really would like you to play that song. And so this is actually more of a threat than a request. They don't get out here a lot, so we'll do. I remember one time I went to see Dylan, and I really wanted to hear him do Masters of War, and he didn't do it. So I kind of left with this kind of empty feeling inside. So
for you people that have that void in your life. Having me sitting up against the wall, redneck mirror can feel. It may not say a lot for either one of us. So I'll do it just a quick little version of it. Let me explain it, in case you're not familiar with this song at all. And if you're not, then I really appreciate you lowering your standards. Coming here tonight. A long time ago in a land far away called West Texas and Northeast New Mexico, if you were a young, long-haired, cosmic cowboy, hippie musician, it was a very dangerous time. This was before Willie Nelson sang at the Armadillo World Headquarters in Austin, Texas, bringing the hippies and the rednecks together. He's born in Oklahoma. His wife's name's Betty Jo Delmerlin. He's not responsible for what he's doing. His mother asked me him what he is. And it's up against the wall, redneck mother. Sing along, we'll live your wasted youth. Mother who has third, four, drinking in a honky-tonk, just a kicking if his asses and raising hell. But you know, he sure likes to drink Lone Star, Pearl, and Shiner Bob beer. He likes beer. He likes Texas. He likes Texas beer. He traded in his GMC pickup truck and he got him a Ford. He gave it to his son who took it to college and he put a little plastic statue of Robert Earl Keene on the dashboard. He's a saint back home. And it's up against the wall, redneck mother. I said, mother, who has raised sons so well? He's 34, drinking in a honky-tonk, just a kicking in his ass and raising hell. You know him. Him is actually for the mileage I've got out of this song, to tell you the truth. Man, this song should have been dead and buried 20, 25 years ago, probably never even written, let alone remembered, let alone recorded, let alone recorded again by the band Cracker. That's kind of cool. It's only got three chords in it. It is politically incorrect, but the way that I look at it is his careers have been built on less. I wonder what Vanilla Ice is doing tonight. I got a gig. Oh, it's broke. That's enough of that. T is for tired. H is for haggard. Tired and haggard. E is for eggs. And R is for redneck. And it's up against the wall. Redneck mother. Sing along, be your last chance forever. I said, the mother who has raised us so well. He's 34, drinking in a honky-tonk. Just a kicking if his ass and raising hell. What's he doing, Rick? He's just a kicking if his ass and raising hell. Songwriting is right after you write a song, ask yourself, can I sing this for 36 years? I didn't do that. do this one here, I want to tell you real quick that I'm a great believer in the First Amendment. And there's a lot of people, a lot of people really upset with all the violence and hip hop and rap and everything. They even had congressional hearings about this. And some people think that maybe that First Amendment was just meant to be a suggestion. Maybe we ought to have people look over the shoulders of songwriters and, say, well, maybe you shouldn't say that. But the First Amendment, first it's first. That ought to tell you something. And, if you should have a problem with it, like say I'm an old guy and when my son Lucas started listening to it and everything, I said, man, it's kind of graphic, and I'm really not, you should be listening to that. He pointed out to me that in music, Ralph Stanley and Bill Monroe have killed more people than Ice-T and 50 Cent. And he said, he have to bring up the Lumen Brothers. So that First Amendment is very precious, So if you have a problem with it, you should know that. So here's a little bluegrass murder ballad for you. Last night I went down to the railroad tracks. I watched a train roll by. It was 99 cars screaming into the dark. I heard a lonesome whistle cry. With a name on my arm and a ring coming down. It was like the very first time that I took a dive to the railroad tracks. And her red lifted her smile. She said, I won't rock and roll. You're gonna hoot your hoo now. You're gonna shake that thing. And let me do. And now the woman got a walk to make a man cry. Throw back to sit and howl. I see her ruby red lips and a liquid hips. More than a law will allow. I told her once and I told her twice. I must have told her a thousand times. I got a red hot mind, a cool black heart. I am the jealous kind. Now the woman took a laugh. She said, sweet daddy, you know you're the only one. You're my smooth lover, boy, my heartache and joy. Come on, let's have us some fun all the rock and roll. Oh, so check this, buddy. You're gonna shake that thing. A honey love to do. Well, it was early last night I went downtown. Little place called Johnny's Last Stand. Through the blues and a smoke I saw on the dance floor. With another man, the dead man's name was Louis Dupree. I pushed a little button on my name. I walked up to him. I said, "Hello, sonny boy. Now, have you enjoyed your life and time to rock and roll?" Oh, let's switch it up now. You're gonna shake that thing, honey. Let me do.
Is John a revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seals. I
back from the dead was a red-headed woman, and they say she known sin. What that day, there's hope for me. Oh, what that day, there's hope for me. What that day, there's hope for me. You tell me my redeemer gonna send me free. You tell me my redeemer gonna send me free. And I rise up out of the river, knowing my sin's been washed away. I'm gonna whoop, oh, I'm gonna holler. And I rise up out of the river, knowing my sin's been washed away. I'm gonna whoop, I'm gonna holler. I'm gonna whoop, I'm gonna holler. I'm gonna whoop, I'm gonna holler. I'm gonna rise up, a woman and a hollering rise up. A woman and a hollering rise up. A woman and a hollering rise up. Rise up.
Back in high school, myself and three other fellas decided to form this band. So we formed this band. We've been together about 2 or 3 months. One of the guys, you know, suggested that we get instruments and learn to play, but we were going nowhere fast. So we got some mandolins and guitars. We went nowhere a lot faster. So about the next 20-some years, I just kind of beat the hell out of the guitar and played in honky-tonks and kind of wrote some songs and everything. When I was 41, someone gave me this book. It's called Letters to a Young Poet. And there was a line in there about fear and what was on the other side of it, if you can get through it, you know, what's on the other side of this fear. And I didn't realize until I read this that I'd been kind of terrified my whole life of certain things. I sort of had this, you know, just, it was just a, you know, I guess the term nowadays would be dysfunctional family, but when we were going up in southeastern Oklahoma, we were, there's the Hubbards. And so, I grew up in a little place that right outside a little town called Hugo, Oklahoma. And we had this little house by the side of the highway. And painted on the front of our house was this hand, this red hand, that was like 5 feet by 8 feet, you know, high. And it was painted on the front of our house, and it had a little eye in the middle of it. It had stars and moons and cards and pyramids. My grandmother was a fortune teller up in southeastern Oklahoma, Hugo, Oklahoma. used to be known as Circus Town, USA, where a lot of these circuses would make their winter homes, you know, not like Barnum and Bailey, but kind of these third-rate convict circuses, you know, like Ronnie's Circus. Well, my grandmother was the fortune teller for the Valentine Circus, which is still in existence today, so she would travel with them during the summer, but then during the winter she had her psychic reading at our house there, so as a little kid, I'd walk around the corner, there'd be this giant hand right there, and it was horrible. She was a wonderful woman, but she kind of, at the end there, she was losing it a little bit. We would stand out on the front porch, and these cars would drive by, and she would yell, "I knew you weren't going to stop." So, that was very impressive. Grandfather up there in southeastern Oklahoma was what they call a bootlegger. They smuggled books in Arkansas. Our relatives in Arkansas hated when I say that. So someone gave me this book. I read that line. Overcame this fear of embarrassment. I held up this old fella and I said, "Will you teach me how to finger pick a little bit?" And he did. And it validated what was in his book.
Small code.
got from this old poet. He said, our fears are like dragons guarding our most precious treasures. So I'm not looking for loose diamonds here, no, boys, or pretty girls for crosses around the necks. And I don't want for roses of water. I look in the garden and I just wanna see what's next.
So I kind of started writing these other songs, some other doors started opening, you know. Like I said, I'd always been in bands. Just kind of folk rock. I'm really into folk music and did a little folk trios and done folk music and all that stuff, and I put some bands together. But then, so at age 41, like I say, I read this book, and it meant a lot to me, and I started learning to fingerpick a little bit, and I kind of started writing these other type of songs, you know, that just weren't like, you know, that. So, but I never had played solo. I never had done a solo gig from the time I was like 17 up till I was 41. I always had a, you know, an accomplice, a accompanist. And so what happened was, is I read these songs. This buddy of mine said, well, you need to go out just you and a guitar and go play these songs. And I said, man, I don't think I can do that. I just, you know, he said, what about that fair line that Rilke says in that book? And I went, and his eye, I said, well, and I didn't really bunch here. So anyhow, I said, you need to do it. So he got me this gig, this seafood restaurant in Fort Worth. The first ever solo gig I'd ever done for, like, you know, by myself for all this time. So anyhow, I go to this restaurant. They got a little PA set up there, everything. So I go in there and I get up there and I play my first song. And after I finish my first song, there's no applause. There's just the sound of people peeling shrimp. this is not any good. So same thing after my second song. So as I'm playing my third song, as I'm playing and singing, right, somewhere over here in my brain, I'm thinking, why bother? This was a horrible idea. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about tearing off a fragment of your soul and making it rhyme and fit the laws of music. Nobody cares. This was an awful idea. I'm just going to get me a big old belt buckle and a Telecaster and get me a honky-tonk band and do covers. This is, nobody cares. And so I finished my third song and I hear, and I go, someone understands and appreciates what I'm doing. So I look at the, you know, over to, you know, I go to, you know, make eye contact with a guy who understands what I'm doing and appreciates what I'm doing. And I look over and I go, thank you. This guy's got this ketchup bottle. And a lot of times I'll tell that story and the audience will go, oh, how sad. I like you people. CDs tonight. I didn't write this. Come on now. Thank you guys so much. That was a great job. Thank you. Thank you.